Thank you, too. That was great. I tried to walk on water a couple times, but you didn't know that. Of course, it was because my husband wanted me to try water skiing. I later called it attempted murder. He says, it's easy. And when he did it, it looked really easy. All right, but what I should have remembered was that I had this 15-pound extra buoy around my stomach, and I was 45 years old. I should have remembered that, right? So I get out there the first time, and do you know how hard it is to keep your legs together with skis? It's really, really hard, right? So I tried, and I failed. And I tried, and I failed. After about the sixth time, I said, forget it. I'm never getting up, right? So I went in. He talked to me, and the next time we went to the lake, he said, okay, let's try it again. Second time, I did get up. But then guess what I did? I found out you better not let the rope go untaut. You better not look down at your skis to see how well you're doing, because you know what happens? Wham! That's what happens, right? So I really wasn't too excited to try it a third time, but I thought the third time's a charm, right? And I actually got up, and I was having a really good time, and I happened to see these other skiers that would just kind of let go of the rope and go float into shore. You know, you've seen them, right? I thought, I can do that. But I'll float up to the dock, right? You know what happened, right? Well, a few things were wrong. Number one, I forgot to tell the boat driver that's what I was going to do, right? Second one, I was a lot closer to the dock than I thought I would be. Yeah, you got it. So that ended my water walking lesson for then. I was an utter failure, but we'll come back to that, right? So it's dawn. Jesus is sauntering across the lake, and the apostles say, oh, look, it's a what? It's a ghost. Now, why would they have thought it was a ghost? We have to know back then that they really believed that when people died, that their spirits did come back. But if you saw it, it was a bad thing. And so they really, really were afraid that it was, except Peter, I think he had better vision. You know, he finally says, oh, nah, that's just Jesus. You notice he didn't react. It's just Jesus walking on the water. What would I be saying? Look at that! I'd be freaking out and say, look, he's walking on the water, you know. And he says, hey, Jesus, that looks pretty cool. Let me go. He just steps on the water and he goes, right? Anybody think it's remarkable that he doesn't get excited or anything? He just gets out and goes. You know, let's be honest, how many of us would have got out of that boat? Everybody raise their hand that would have got out of the boat, and I'll know who the liars are in this room. In fact, I'll bet you anything, we'd be yelling at Peter saying what? Get it, don't get out of the boat, you're going to drown, don't you see those waves or whatever it is. We would have said, don't take a risk, because you know what? We're kind of risk averse, aren't we? And the older we get, the more risk averse that we are. I don't know if it's because we have more responsibility, you know. And also because our reality is what? Can people walk on water? Only if there's rocks underneath them. Right. But no, our reality is they can't. But Jesus obviously has a different reality. And Jesus thinks we can walk on water, right? And you know what? This reminds me of the fact that there are times in our lives that Jesus calls us to walk on water and really asks us, how much do we trust in him? Do we trust him enough to get out of the boat, you know? It might be deciding on what job shall I go or which degree shall I get in college, or it might be what investments. It might be a volunteer project that Jesus is calling you to go do that. When you think about it, it's the least thing you'd ever want to do, right? And I have found, at least in my life, that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to override my vision of reality. Because my vision is always going to say, don't do it. It isn't worth the risk. And then you have to ask yourself, well, how much do I really trust in Jesus? Do I trust him to do that? It kind of reminded me of Bob and June, who were some friends of mine that decided they're going to be missionaries. Now, they're in their 50s. Right? They have these great jobs. They're making really good money. In fact, their kids are just finishing up college, so they got some debt and stuff like that. And they say, I hear God calling us to go to be a missionary in Haiti. And I said, I don't think that's what you're hearing. In fact, I was one of those that said, don't you think you should wait till your kids are out of the house before you try to do that? I mean, how can you afford to do that, right? Ever found yourself trying to talk somebody out of doing something they want to do? You know? And they said, they look and they said, I don't care. We're just going to do it because we think God's calling you. You know what? And they never looked back. And guess what? They said it was the most rewarding experience that they ever had. If it had been up to me, they wouldn't have gone. Whose reality was right? I can tell you that whenever you're deciding if you're going to do something based on faith, there's always going to be naysayers, you know? It might be a friend, or whoever it might be is going to say, don't do it. You'll be sorry. Anybody ever had that said to them before? Something you really wanted to do, right? You know, it was kind of like a parent saying, don't jump off the end of the dock. You might drown, right? It's dangerous. You could be making a big mistake. Maybe. We're always going to run into some kind of resistance when we're trying to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do. You know, maybe that's people that don't like what we're going to do because it's not what they want to happen. I have found I'm fine with change as long as what I want it to change. It's when it's a change that I don't like, that's when I usually fight it and say, I don't like change. So anyway, so here's the thing. Whenever you're thinking about whether to trust God or not, you know, at least for me, when I decide no, it's because I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what's it going to cost me, not about what God is calling me to do, right? It's say, I'm thinking, oh, I'll have a financial loss. Or my friends may never speak to me again because they think that's so utterly stupid to do. Or my parents don't like the fact I'm not going into the family business, whatever it might be, right? I found that when I get out of my boat, though, the situation always turns out okay. Then when I go to Water Walk, God pays me back abundantly for being willing to take the risk. And of course, there's other reasons we won't get out of the boat that I haven't named. And you know, I think the biggest one is we don't want to give up what's comfortable, right? Perhaps you feel called to work with maybe kids with the inner city, or maybe you feel called to change jobs. You really want to go teach, but you know if you do, you won't have as much money, you know, and what are you going to do? Well, maybe to walk on water and to do what God's calling you to do. You're going to have to find a job working for a not-for-profit, or you're going to have to learn to give up the job that you have so you can work fewer hours so that you can do that, right? Maybe you want to join the worship team, but you can't sing. That's okay. No. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention, all right? Maybe you want to join the worship team, but your kids are in sports, and the only day that they play sports is on Sunday, right? Well, you kind of got a question in front of you, right? Do I not let the kids play sports? And we all think when our kids are playing sports, they're going on to the NFL or the Major League Baseball teams, right? Or you might have to find a different team for them to play on that didn't go on Sunday. But God's calling you to do that. You know, you're called to do a leap of faith, or in Peter's fact, a walk of faith, right? And sometimes I think it's hardest to have faith in the middle. You know, it's almost like we can have faith when we first find out about Christianity, right? And we first find out about Jesus, and Jesus is there for us, right? And then our enthusiasm goes, and then it just kind of plateaus out, and you're comfortable. Now, when you get close to dying again, it goes, whoop, again, right? I think faith is the hardest in the middle when you're comfortable, when nothing's really going bad. Nothing's going particularly good, you know? And you know what? The thing that confirms this for me in this particular story is sometimes we read this wrong. But does it say the apostles were in a storm? No, it doesn't. It says the wind was blowing. There's a headwind, right? It says that the waves were a little high. But who's in the boat? What did they do for a living, many of them? They were fishermen. So, and it doesn't say Jesus had to go out and save them, does it? Calm, right? They're doing what they know they can do under their own power. But you see, Jesus needed to teach them to have some more faith because Jesus was going to leave, right? And when Jesus left, they had to have a strong enough faith that they would continue to go out and preach the gospel to the rest of the nations. So Peter comes along, right? And he's invited out of the boat. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, most of us would have waited until Jesus came over and got in the boat and sat with us, wouldn't we have? Sometimes I think we do that at church. We don't have to go out because if we sit here long enough, Jesus will come here. And that's true, you know. But most of the time when we think about things that we might do at church or think about going out there and taking the gospel to somebody else, what do we say? I'm not doing that. What would people think, right? We always think about this preacher standing on the corner preaching, right? That's what we're going to look like, right? We'd say, is that person nuts? Just like we'd say, is Peter nuts? It's too big a risk. I could drown. Or if we make those changes at the church could die if we try that. Let me give you, if we don't, they could die anyway, right? Because if God's not in it and Jesus is not here, why would we want to be here anyway? Out of the 12, Peter is the only one that's willing to walk on water. Jesus simply says, come. And he gets out of the boat and he walks on water. And here's the thing. Peter wanted to be with Jesus regardless of what the circumstances was. You know, Peter realized it's better to be with Jesus on the water without the boat than to be in the boat without Jesus. So Peter takes this leap of faith. He decides he's going to follow Jesus, to be close to Jesus, to keep his eyes on Jesus, to walk where Jesus was walking, even if it was in a scary place, some place he didn't want to go, with water underneath your feet. Yes, even though he took his eyes off of Jesus, did he drown? No. Jesus was there for him, wasn't he? And when Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? Do you really think he was only talking to Peter? See, I think he was talking to the disciples in the boat, and I think he was talking to us today as well, you know? Could he be talking to this church is what I wondered when I was reading this scripture, you know? Aren't there times in our life that we as individuals or we as church can lose sight of where Jesus is calling us to go, you know? We start looking at our problems. We start saying, oh, we don't have enough finances. We don't have enough volunteers, whatever it be, is. And when we do that, what happens? We start to sink. We forget why we're here. We forget who we are. We forget who our leader is, right? Maybe what we need to do is begin to ask, who am I looking at? Am I looking at some of the leaders and saying, they're nuts, not going to do that, right? Here's what I think Jesus is saying to us. Get out of the boat. You are still here 125 years later from the day that you opened up and you haven't sunk yet. Oh, ye of little faith. Why can't you be here another 125 years? Then you can if you're willing to get out of the boat and water walk with me. When I was skiing, I found that it was safest and things went smoothly when I trusted the boat driver, even though it was my husband. Right? When I did that, I could enjoy the experience. And I did really well. When I didn't keep my eye on the boat, when I thought I could do it my way, plop, right? Can I do that again? That was the end of this. So the question would be from you guys today is, can you put the life of this church in the hands of Jesus? And if you think that you're willing to do that, I'm going to ask you to water walk today. I'm going to ask you to walk over here and walk across the SS Minnow, right? Jesus is going to be waiting here and for you physically to walk on water to Jesus as a sign of your commitment to say, our eyes are on Jesus, our eyes are not ourselves. So as the worship team comes back and as Jesus comes into place, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I want you literally to reach your hand out. Jesus, I'm reaching my hand out to you. Take my life and lead me. Help me to trust you enough to get out of the boat and to follow you wherever you may take me, even when I'm called to walk on water or cross the desert sands. My life is in your hand. Amen. If you'd like to venture into the boat and walk on water and commit to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into this church, being the gospel in the world, I invite you to come forward.